One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Herzlich willkommen, liebe Serienjunkies, zu einer neuen Ausgabe des Serienbiz-Podcasts. Mein Name ist Hannah und ich bin heute beim Seriencamp. Und die Seriencamper heute am Freitag, dem 8. November, kommen in den Genuss des Starts der 4. Staffel von The Expanse. Wir reden heute über Sci-Fi, das freut wahrscheinlich auch viele Leute. Und ich habe zwei ganz besondere Gäste mir gegenüber sitzen, und zwar die beiden Autoren der Buchvorlage. Und wir werden jetzt switchen auf Englisch und ich werde natürlich jetzt weiter in die Serie gehen. Wir werden aber nicht zu viel spoilern über die neue Staffel. Los geht's. So tell us, guys, or tell me, guys, who are you and what do you do?
I'm Daniel Abraham. I am the James half of James S.A. Corey. I write books and produce television.
I'm Ty. I'm the Corey half, and I write books and produce television.
So you guys, together you wrote this this fantastic book series. I have to ask you guys, and probably you talked about this several times already, but how did you guys meet and how did this happen, actually, Daniel?
Well, Ty moved to New Mexico, where I live, because we had a very good and relatively inexpensive architecture program, and his wife was going into architecture school. So we had a friend in common who was in my writer's group and knew that Ty had done some works with short stories, and she told us all we had to be nice to her friend, and so we met through her. And then within probably a year and a half, we were writing the books together.
And you, Ty, I heard that you were more the world-building kind of guy. Is that true?
Well, in that I had built The Expanse before we started writing it. I guess that's true for that. But it initially was made for a couple of other projects, a video game and some other things that didn't work. And so by the time Daniel came to it... it had been around for a while.
And so how did Amazon, not Amazon back then, I think Sci-Fi was the first channel it was on. How did Sci-Fi get a hold of the project? How did that happen? And were there maybe other channels who were interested?
It actually wasn't Sci-Fi. So a production company called Alcon Entertainment, which up until then had been a feature company making movies, decided to open a television division. And they hired an executive producer named Sharon Hall to be the president of that television group. And she was the one who bought The Expanse for Alcon. And then Alcon licensed it to Sci-Fi. But Sci-Fi never owned The Expanse. They licensed it. And Alcon continues to own the show.
And so when we saw the first season of The Expanse, I thought it was quite close to the books, actually. But there were some differences, especially with the Belters, which I think is very fascinating. And we just saw a little hint of how the Belters actually are described in the books. How close were you with the production, with the writing? Were you in the writer's room? And is there maybe something you missed in the first season, especially?
Well, we were in the writer's room from the beginning. We were actually in there... even before the rest of the writers were hired. And our role initially was to be the folks in the room who could say, yes, you can make that decision, but it's going to break things 3 years from now, because we knew it. That was what we brought to the table. And then it turned out we were good at it. So we stayed on and became more involved. As far as the first season goes, there are actually a lot of changes that we made in there that are really substantial. They just don't feel like it. The part that Elias Tufekcis plays, Kenzo, doesn't exist in the books at all, and is a critical part of that whole thing. The role that Havelock played, his story was very different. We pulled in Avasarala a whole book early, just so that we could get her perspective on that. I feel like what we've really done with the show is stay true to the spirit of the books in a way that it kind of forgives us all of the structural and detail changes that we make.
Is there something maybe you wish you would have put in the first season?
I don't know. I'm working on that. I don't know. I
That's amazing that actually you had so much freedom.
No, it was, I think that the first season came together pretty well.
Totally. So we have to go to the next part after the third season. So Sci-Fi didn't want to do anything more, and I think then Alkin looked around for a new partner. How did Amazon got into play?
I don't know. I don't work at Business Affairs in Alcon. I know we had heard rumors that Alcon and the new president of Alcon Television, Sharon Hall, had left at that point, and Laura Lancaster is now the president of Alcon Television and currently serving in that capacity. We had heard that Laura and the owners of Alcon were talking to other places. Amazon was one of the places that was mentioned, but that was all rumors at that point. We were not involved in that. We didn't find out for sure until it was announced.
And we heard a lot about like fans actually trying to get some money together and renting like a plane thing, you know, which would fly over the Amazon studios or something like that. How did you feel when you heard that the fans actually loved the show so much they would go to this, you know, and try to fight for it and try to save it?
Well, it's very flattering. I mean, it's always great when people really love the work that you're doing. But there are a lot of shows that also have really dedicated fandoms and that don't manage to save their favorite shows. So we saw it and we were I was touched and I was grateful and I thought the effort was probably quixotic and doomed, but you know, I appreciated it anyway, and then it worked. So shows what I know.
Do you have something to add to that, Ty?
No, I mean, Daniel's absolutely right. It's very flattering when fans are that devoted. The other part of this, and I don't want to take anything away from the fans because the efforts they went to were amazing, but the other half of this is clearly somewhere in the numbers. When Amazon looked at the numbers, buying the show made sense to them. Or you know, licensing the show made sense to them. And I'm not privy to what those numbers are, but that's also nice that when they looked at it, they were like, yeah, this makes sense and we'll make money for us. So the combination of being a financial good bet and having the fans who are so supportive, that's a nice combination of things to be.
Do you nowadays have the same freedom with Amazon on board as before, if I may ask?
Well, I think the standards and practices on streaming in general are considerably more broad than what we had on basic cable. And there are some other things that we get to play with before editorially we didn't get to. We aren't tied to an exact time for an episode. So if we have one that needs to breathe a little bit, we can run a little bit long in a way we couldn't do before. Those are not huge changes, but they are very nice.
Every time I watch the show, and I really, really like it, I love especially the Mars parts of it, because it also reminds me a lot of Babylon 5, which is one of my favorite show of all times.
It's a classic. No, Babylon 5 was great. Babylon 5 was, in my mind, one of the kind of unsung, really important series of science fiction. I think that it broke a lot of ground that we would not be able to do this without that.
So nice that you say that, because when we talk about it, I get goosebumps, really. So, Ty, are there maybe other shows you watched maybe as a kid or as a young people, young guys, or other books maybe that influenced you also?
TV shows, I suppose. I mean, for me, the biggest influence on the look and feel of The Expanse was the movie Alien. Ridley Scott's masterpiece. It just changed how I saw science fiction. Before that, as a kid, I'd watched a lot of Star Trek. Of course, we all did. The original Star Trek with, you know, Kirk and Spock. And it was very clean. The future was very clean. Everybody had a very clean uniform. And the ship was very clean. And you went and solved problems on alien planets. But those problems never took more than 42 minutes to solve. And then you went to a different planet. When I watched Alien for the first time, and I think I was probably only 10 or 11, that ship was dirty, and it was in, and people had grease-covered coveralls, and they had wrenches, and they had to fix things.
And sweat.
and sweat, and the idea that a spaceship needed people to fix things, that it needed people with wrenches, that it needed people to mop floors, completely changed how I saw space. So more than anything else, that one definitely changed what I wanted from science fiction.
You mentioned the numbers before, and I think actually Netflix also mentioned it once, that a lot of people watch sci-fi shows on Netflix, and that, you know, they're very popular and they want to produce more. That's why they produced more, maybe good ones and not so good ones in the last couple of months and years. But do you also feel there's sort of a revival and a sort of... Because I remember when I watched Babylon 5, I always had to say, you know, I watched Babylon 5 and everyone was kind of laughing, you know, oh, you're watching the sci-fi, you're the sci-fi geek or something. So I would say nowadays there's much more appreciation of sci-fi in general. Do you feel that as well? Or what is your opinion to this?
Well, I think you have to give a lot of credit for that to George R. R. Martin and HBO for Game of Thrones. That's not sci-fi, but what it is it made genre respectable. That you could have a show that was fantasy and had dragons and had magic, and it was still considered respectable drama, and it could get Emmy nominations, and it, you know, could win awards. It was after that that it really started to open up. Then everybody wanted a big epic, and some of those, they were looking for fantasy like Game of Thrones, but it also opened it up to sci-fi. I have no doubt that the development of The Expanse followed right on the heels of Game of Thrones, because they said, here's, at the time, I think five books. Here's a five-book series. It's going to be nine. We can develop that, and we can make another big epic show. So I think that what happened with Game of Thrones really changed the landscape for everybody working in genre television.
Do you guys know George R. R. Martin?
Oh, yeah. No, we are both... friends with George. We both worked with George in one capacity or another. Ty was kind of running George's business side of his business for a while. George and I and a guy named Gardner Dozois, who was the editor of Asimov Science Fiction for just decades, wrote a novel together called Hunter's Run. So yeah, we know George.
Is the sixth book coming soon?
We know George. It's a great shirt. I like that shirt. Good shirt.
Yeah, talking about books, you're on your European or German even book tour right now. So it's like the eighth or ninth book already, is it?
It is the eighth. The eighth book is coming out in German shortly. It's already out in English. We're working on the ninth.
So you don't have the problem like George R. R. Martin that you have to write sort of faster or something? Or were you ever in this kind of, you know, were you ever pressured to, oh no, we have to write faster because maybe the TV show is, like, you know, getting faster than us?
That George and the two of us have very different processes. That's true. I think that's true with any writer that you talk about. Everybody's way into the art is different. Everybody's experience of the craft is different. For whatever reason, we are good working at a decent clip, and it's let us stay well ahead of where the show is or is going to be.
How can I imagine or envision how you guys work on a book? Do one starts and the other one looks over it, or do you guys write together every word, or how does it work, the process?
I write all the vowels, he writes all the consonants.
No, we outline together, and we talk a lot about each book and about the project in general, so that we kind of have it in mind what we're doing. And then when it comes time to write an individual chapter, one of us will write the chapter, whoever writes that, the other guy edits it. Then when we have the whole book finished, each of us goes through once and makes whatever changes he wants, so that by the end, it's been gone over a lot, and we don't necessarily know, you know, who wrote which sentence.
And with the TV show, are you still in the writer's room, or how does that work?
Well, the writer's room isn't open right now. All the development for season 5 has been done, although we are still writing scripts. So there are still writers writing scripts right now. And both Daniel and I, along with the other senior producers on the show, are doing rewrites and polish passes on those scripts. And I'm getting ready to go back to Toronto to produce another couple blocks of episodes. So yeah.
To the final question we always ask, what was the last TV show you binge watched, if you had the time, or maybe just, you know, watched this year and you were very, you know, really loved it?
I have many.
What was the last one then?
Well, I just did a massive rewatch of all the Rick and Morty episodes, getting ready for season 4 of that. And then my wife and I watched the most recent season of The Good Place, because we both love that. So yeah, I think those are the two most recent.
Yeah, I'm. My wife and I are halfway through Barry right now. But the one that I've seen recently that kind of blew my head open was Fleabag Season 2, which was, I think, structurally one of the most brilliant pieces of film I've ever seen.
Perfect. So thank you very much, and all the best on your trip.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.